So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Anna DeVellante Show. I'm Elise Kling, sitting in for Anna this week, and we have the amazing Tom Skilling with us today. He's sponsored by Permaseal Basement Systems. Tom, it is so great to talk to you.
Elise, it is wonderful talking to you. Happy Tuesday, and happy lower humidity day around here. So we broke up humidity, and probably will the rest of the week. It gets a little more humid this weekend, but what a lovely day it is, Elise. No storms on the horizon short term, and that's sure not the case elsewhere. But we're doing okay. I hope you are too.
Oh, it's beautiful. And what I love is here we are, August 31st. It's the end of summer, and we're getting actually a really nice summer day. And I was thinking before we went on the air that what I used to love when I was working at WGN-TV with you is I would come by and say, "Hey, Tom," and I would get my own personal forecast, which was always very special.
We always loved you poking your head into the weather office, at least, and we miss that now that our radio colleagues are downtown. So it's so good to be reunited again here on the air. And I'll give you your briefing here.
All right, let's have it.
Yeah, well, it looks pretty nice. and it's amazing. We've got fires burning to the west and a terrible drought, and we've got flooding going on with Hurricane Ida. You know, Elise, that thing came ashore around midday on Sunday. It is this is only Louisiana is the first state to have 250 mile per hour hurricanes hit back to back years. Pretty amazing. It's one of the top storms in terms of power to hit the United States, and it marks the fifth tropical system to make landfall in the United States. This obviously the most powerful of them. And boy, it's dealt a devastating blow to New Orleans. You know, they had all those hurricanes that went into Louisiana last year, but none of them really directly hit New Orleans until this one came ashore. So they're in terrible shape. I guess they have five electric high, towers that bring the electricity into New Orleans. All of them were toppled. So they're still without electricity and apparently going to be for a while. And the flooding has been horrendous. This thing even reversed the flow of the Mississippi River.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Isn't that something? And then on top of that, it intensified. And this has been the trend we've been seeing in this new climate environment we're in. This thing went from a Category 1 hurricane to a Category 4 inside of 24 hours. So it's just the latest tropical cyclone, and this has been doing this, these tropical cyclones on the planet, not only here on our side of the world, but also on the other side, the typhoons and cyclones out in the Western Pacific and the Indian Ocean and around Australia have been doing the same thing. So this rapid intensification is really a problem because it gives less time for evacuation, although the forecasting of these things is so much more accurate than it was.
Right. Well, one of the things that I thought was really interesting, and I think this was in the New York Times, there was this picture of the United States, and they were talking about the changes in inches for the amount of precipitation that they're getting. And it seemed like the whole eastern half of the U.S. is just getting a deluge now, and the western half is just diving into this drought that is causing all kinds of weird and interesting things. And I do also want to talk about your favorite place in the whole universe, Alaska, because the weather they're getting there is just like, who has 60-degree weather in Alaska?
Yeah, I know. It's been kind of a cool summer up there, and they've been commenting on that. And they had a relatively cold winter after a whole series of warmer winters. But they've got the fires burning in interior Alaska. And, of course, out west, Lake Mead, which is the lake created behind Hoover Dam, and it feeds the water to Las Vegas and to Phoenix and San Diego and, to a lesser extent, Los Angeles. It's one of the sources of water for L.A. That's dropped to an all-time low. They built Hoover Dam across the Colorado River back in the 1930s. This is the lowest water level. The reservoir there is the largest in the country when it's full, but it's only 35% full right now. So they just announced water cuts to California, New Mexico. Arizona takes the biggest hit. They're going to drop the allocation of water to them by 18% in the coming year. And even Mexico has had its allocation of water cut. And then we see all these fires burning out there. And in fact, if you look up in the sky, this kind of yellowish haze is smoke off those fires coming in at high elevations. There are signs that may thicken up in the days ahead because the winds are aloft or coming in from that direction. So that propels the smoke over here. Air quality out west is terrible. Yeah. Meantime, Ida's remnants are headed toward New York, Washington, Philadelphia, Baltimore, and Boston, and hitting Nashville, Tennessee today, and West Virginia. So, boy, you talk about a regular smorgasbord of extreme weather. We've got it going across the country.
Wait, and wait a second, Tom. I'm going out to Maine for the holiday weekend. Is it going to rain again in Maine?
Well, you know what? Maine will only be swiped by the storm. A little south is where the main rain will be. Mm. So I'm hoping this gets out of here in time for you and that the storm goes out to sea. So let's keep our fingers crossed on that. But yeah. We are going into a cooler weather regime. We'll warm up and turn a little more humid this weekend. But, for instance, the winds are going to pick up from the northeast. That's going to generate some waves. And they have one of these beach hazard statements out for our Chicago area beaches because the waves are going to come up and there'll be some rip currents developing starting this evening and then running into Thursday morning. So swimmers might be aware of that. But the water is warm. It's in the 70s right now. So yeah. That's good.
Yeah, that's lovely. It's good, really good for paddleboarding. And the weather's just, it's been a little bit choppy on the water. But gosh, I mean, you know, it's nice and refreshing when you go in when it's like 90 something out. I'm sure you know this off the top of your head or at your fingertips, but you know, it seems to me this has been one of the longer stretches of 90-degree weather that we've had in Chicago for a while.
Well, you know, we wound up with over 30 90-degree days last summer. So far this year, and by the way, at midnight tonight, we closed the books on August and on climatological summer, which is June, July, and August. The official end of summer comes astronomically later in September. But we've had 22 90s at O'Hare, 17 are normal, and the year's not done yet, so we'll see what we wind up with. History tells us we have probably an average of two more 90-degree days to come, but it depends very much on the year. Midway has had 26 90s, so not quite as many as last year, and yet both the summer and the month are going to average about 3.5 degrees above normal. So the number of 90s is above normal. The temperatures are above normal. July was kind of the coolest of the summer months. But other than that, we've had a fairly warm summer. It's also interesting, at least we've had more sun this month than is typically the case. And that's even with these blockbuster thunderstorms we've had in the last couple of weeks. So it's been sunnier than average August overall around here.
Which is super nice. Well, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit more about the drought and some of the fires that are going on. I know that is really going to cause, I'm already feeling my eyes start to itch from the high-level smoke that's coming through. But I know that there's going to be some other stuff that comes along with that as we move into the fall. So, Tom, you know, we were talking before the break about the drought and about how hot and sunny it is here. Do you think that the fall is going to, I mean, I remember from when I was a kid, fall in Chicago could not be beat. You got this high, low humidity, cool, yeah, crisp evenings, lovely sunshine in the mid-70s, and you would have that weather, you know, maybe through mid-October, and then November 1st, it was like the clouds came in and the cold and everything changed. What do you think is going to look like for us this fall?
Well, you know, there's probably a tendency toward slightly above normal temperatures. You're absolutely right, Elise. What happens really from August to forward is there's a change in the upper steering winds. The shorter days, and days have been shortening since late June across North America. So the cool air is starting to build up north, and this tends to turn the jet streams in from the west or northwest more often than it did earlier in the summer. And that's why you tend to get these weather systems that come in from Canada, like the one that's settling in much of this work week as a result of that. You know, it also means that thunderstorms, which birds have tended to come into Chicago from the southwest the first half of the summer and through spring, will start coming in more from the west and northwest with this change in steering winds. But when you bring in a northwest flow, you cut off the tropical moisture supply. So that leads to this beautiful weather you're talking about that sometimes is so gorgeous in fall around here. So that's very true. I'm looking, though, at least today, I should tell you that our friends at Loyola Medicine, Dr. Shaw there takes the pollen count. Yike. We've got high ragweed, high weed, and high mold count. Tree and grass pollen are absent, but that's not a good setup. And I'm sure folks with allergies are feeling that. And then we'll see this haziness that smoke aloft comes in the coming days as well. It's already here to some extent. So, but it can be a beautiful time of the year that we're going into.
No, absolutely. I'm a little worried. I know my eyes are itching. I said that earlier, but I'm a little bit worried about for people with asthma, if we get much more of the smoke in from the South Lake Tahoe fire and the fires. I think that's the Calder fire that's moving out. Yes. I saw the pictures there. The smoke is literally down to the ground, and there's a massive evacuation going on right now out of there to try and get people somewhere safe. Is that smoke, where do you think that's going to go? Do you think that'll go a little south of us, most of it, or do you think some of it might just hit us?
Actually, you know, we have some amazing models where they project the path of this smoke plume. The air quality that's really bad right now goes from Colorado and Wyoming west into Utah, Montana, Idaho, back into Oregon and California and parts of Nevada. By the time it gets here, at least, it's coming in at the upper levels. So it's not the kind of stuff that generally affects us. Now, occasionally, if you poke a storm up into this smoke that's coming in a lot, it can mix some of that down to the surface. That happened in New York City a month and a half ago. They had storms going in out there, and the smoke had gone all the way across the country. And these storms, the outflow from them, mixed some of the smoke down to the ground. They said they could actually smell it in New York City. But most of the time, we can't even smell it here. If we're smelling smoke, as chances are, it's from a fire in the local area. And by the way, the fires are not only burning out west, they're burning across southern Canada, too. There's a terrible drought in progress across North Dakota and bad drought in the upper Midwest. So, there have been fires that have erupted mainly up in southern Canada, just north of that area. So the smoke we get off those fires tends to be mainly aloft, and it leads to these colorful sunrises and sunsets, but not stuff that would irritate the eyes. That is more likely to be pollen and mold, and those numbers are high this time of the year.
Yeah, that's what you said. So let's turn a little east, because I know that the National Hurricane Center in Miami is already looking at Tropical Depression Kate. They've named it. And there's another one that seems to be off the coast of Guinea that
yes.
They think there's a 90% chance of a cyclone formation coming up in the next few days. Tell me a little bit about those and what you think is also, you know, maybe going on down in Latin America.
Well, I'll tell you, we're heading into Atlantic season prime time now. The peak comes in the first couple of weeks of September, and that coincides with the warmest ocean temperatures. That's why you tend to get stronger storms in this period of the year. We also, at this time of the year, get what are known as the Cape Verde hurricanes. These are the ones that form right off Africa near the Cape Verde Islands out there in the far eastern Atlantic. And then these things track across the Atlantic and could come into ultimately the Caribbean or the United States coastline. So this system you're talking about is one of several. If you look at satellite imagery across northern Africa, they've had a very active African monsoon this year. These are where these waves that turn into hurricanes originate. And these little waves come off Africa, they hit the warm ocean water, and they're fueled by latent heat energy from the warm oceans. And they, if the winds are calm aloft, and they have been this year. We've got a La Nina developing out in the equatorial Pacific. That tends to cut the upper winds over the Atlantic basin thousands of miles away. And that supports hurricane development. So that's why there's been a forecast of an active season this year, and it has been. We've generated, with all of our tropical systems in 2021, more tropical energy than any season since 2008 already. And it's not done yet. We're heading into the peak months. Now, this system off Africa, if it develops, will be christened Larry, probably. The next one is Mindy, and there's one Nicholas that follows that. So we're running way ahead of normal in the number of storms we've produced already out there.
Really? Even more than last year, where we ran through the alphabet, and then we were into the Greek alphabet and the numbers, and like even more than last year?
Yeah, at the moment. Now, whether we wind up there, we'll see. We had a quiet period after June that ran until just recently, and then it's boom. You know, the stuff started popping again. Witness Ida that just went into, you know, the New Orleans area and Louisiana. You know, and they've got another problem down there, too. Do you know, Elise, they built levees along the Mississippi River to protect that area from flooding. And New Orleans sits below sea level. And so the levees keep the water out of New Orleans. But in so doing, they've changed the silt deposition that comes down the Mississippi River that would build these marshlands along the southern Louisiana coast that would kind of buffer them from the storm surges from hurricanes. They've been losing since the 1930s the equivalent of a football field of land every 100 minutes. And they've lost some 2,000 square miles of land has disappeared down there as due to both this interruption in silt deposition, but also sea level rise. So they don't have as much land mass to buffer them from these hurricanes, and that is very leads to a very destructive form of storm surge with these hurricanes. And the storm surge is this dome of water that these hurricanes sweep across the coastline, along with huge waves, 20, 30 feet, even locally 60, 70 feet offshore over the open waters. So a lot of things conspiring there to create some problems along the Gulf Coast.
That is just an amazing number, I have to say, the amount of landmass that they're losing in terms of that marshland. And I've never heard it described that way, Tom. It's really helpful to kind of imagine it. But every 100 minutes, I just couldn't even, that's stunning. I mean, can you imagine if that were, you know, Lake Michigan and we were talking about Lakeshore Drive? I mean, that's just basically coming over Lakeshore Drive all the time.
No, it's absolutely true. And don't we have a magnificent resource in the Great Lakes? We have 20% of the world's fresh water out here in our Great Lakes. How many cities would give their eye teeth to be in that situation, or metropolitan areas? You know, imagine if they had that kind of water out west, where water is becoming a real issue. It's been said for a long time that water will become the oil of the 21st century. And in places like the West, it is. But they're not alone. You know, there are other places in the Middle East and all that are short of water, too.
Yeah, it's really incredible. Well, you and I could have that conversation about water versus oil for a long time to come, but unfortunately we're out of time. Tom, so nice to visit with you again. I wish you clear skies ahead.
Well, Elise, it's really good to talk to you. I miss seeing you at the station, but you have a wonderful day, a marvelous week, Elise, and it's good to talk to you again. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. We'll be right back with more on 720 WGN.